I'd like to speak to you today concerning the events of April 29th. On that day, the Department of Public Safety was made aware of a threat against the campus. From the information that I received, the threat read something along the lines of stay away from Fainter Hall, I'm going to shoot it up. I'm getting a lot of this information from TV news and from other sources and friends. On the news channel, it was a Mrs. Goldsmith, who I believe is the communications director, who stated the administration did not feel that this was a credible threat. However, regardless of what level of threat, the university police did step up their patrols to the events surrounding these incidents of which I speak. I applaud the university's decision to beef up security around Fainter Hall, despite the lack of credence that they gave the report. However, a DPS officer is paying the price for this increased security. Officer Jerry Nuss, responding to an order to perform foot patrols around Fainter, deployed his duty rifle and investigated a suspicious vehicle. Officer Nuss was removed from active law enforcement duties the next day for deploying this rifle. I find this decision to be absurd for a variety of reasons. First, the simple presence of a police officer armed with a rifle could easily be a deterrent to an active shooter. Historically, shooters go for what's known as soft targets. These are areas where the shooter is reasonably certain that he will not be engaged. These are also called gun-free zones. The sight of an adequately armed, tactically aware police officer could very well be enough to convince a shooter that perhaps he should not perform those actions and live another day. Second, with a threat as vague as, I'm going to shoot it up, Officer Nuss had to assume the shooter would present himself heavily armed. By this I mean with body armor and multiple firearms, such as the case in the Colorado theater shootings or Newtown, Colorado. Officer Nuss wisely deployed the weapon, which would give him the best chance of success against a threat armed similarly to. Apparently, the sight of Officer Nuss patrolling with the rifle made some students nervous, specifically Mr. Bryce Mortensen. While I have no knowledge of Mr. Mortensen's background, I'd be happy to debate with him as to the appropriateness of Officer Nuss' weapon selection. Real life is not a video game. You cannot magically shoot somebody in the head with a pistol at extended ranges. Officer Nuss' selection of that particular weapon gave him a tactical advantage. He would have been able to engage the threat at various distances. I'm glad the administration wants people to feel comfortable going to this university. However, I'm certain their comfort is also dependent upon their safety. I, for one, am very comfortable that SIU Department of Public Safety has officers like Mr. Nuss patrolling the campus, willing to place the students, faculty, and staff safety above their own. Officer Nuss was removed from duty due to public perceptions rather than a tactical mistake or a failure to uphold policy. He should not be punished for performing his duties. I'm also quite certain that a public as well-educated, mature, and informed as the modern university campus can handle the truth when it's spoken to them. The truth is that we live in trying times, and some people are willing to step up and protect us. Officer Nuss is such a person, and he should be applauded, not penalized. Thank you very much for your time. I'm more than willing to entertain any questions.
Thank you, sir. Madam Secretary, our next item is a call for the omnibus motion. The trustees have had approximately 10 days to study the items on the agenda. They are generally routine or self-explanatory, so we will act upon them with one motion and one vote. Please read those items.
Items F and G, reports of purchase orders and contracts, March 2015, SIUC and SIUE. H, I, and J, changes in faculty administrative payroll for SIUC, SIUE, Office of the President and University-Wide Services. K, temporary financial arrangements for fiscal year 2016. L, FY 2016 operating and capital budgets planning guidelines. M, approval of salary of the chair of the Department of Marketing, College of Business, SIUC. N, approval of salary and appointment of Dean of the College of Liberal Arts, SIUC. O, approval of salary and appointment Dean of the School of Business, SIUE. P, approval of salary and appointment Dean of the School of Education, Health and Human Behavior, SIUE. Q, approval of salary and appointment Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs, SIUE. R, award of contract window replacement, Woody Hall, Carbondale Campus, SIUC. S, authorization for the execution of a lease, Head Start, SIUE. And T, consideration and approval of SIUE Chancellor Employment Agreement provisions.
Thank you, ma'am. Questions or discussion?
Chair Thomas, can we just have an explanation of the $5 million contracts that we had discussed yesterday?
Item F, purchase of report purchase orders and contracts, SIUC. President Dunn?
Absolutely. Given our discussion in the work session yesterday and anticipating this might be a question for public purposes, I'd ask Vice Chancellor Boehm if he could give you a bit more elaborate explanation on that background that I shared. So I'll turn the floor over to him, if I may.
What the administration is asking for is to expend up to $5 million over 5 years with firms that are in architectural or engineering firms, and they are what they call a retainer firm. So at any particular point when the university comes up with a small to medium-sized project where the QBS process, the quality-based selection process of selecting an architect or an engineer, seems to not fit with the timeline or seems burdensome, we go to the tool chest to draw from one of the retainer firms, select a firm based on their expertise to do the design work on the project. The largest project that we've completed with one of the retainer firms is serving as the architect was an $8.2 million project, was the renovation of Pulliam Hall. Typically, the projects run in the $500,000 to $1 million to $2 million range. The fact that we're asking for a $5 million up to 8-year period does not necessarily mean that we're going to expend the full $5 million over that 8-year period.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we are clear on that. Thank you.
And Kevin, what I had explained to them as we discussed this in the work session, you alluded to one point. Nothing obligates us to spend any money with any of the firms put on these retainer contracts, simply as the projects require.
That's correct.
And that each individual project still comes before the board if threshold amounts are triggered, certain level presidential approval, certain level board approval, all of those discrete projects will still come before this body.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? Any items for separate consideration? And I will entertain a motion to approve the items listed on the omnibus motion.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's moved and seconded. All in favor, respond to roll call.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Heron?
Yes.
Mannering?
Yes.
Portwood?
Yes.
Samburski?
Yes.
Scholler?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. And I forgot to thank all of our speakers and especially our constituency heads for representing the campus students, faculty, employees so well. Thank you. Next, we have a current and pending matter which has been discussed at committee, item U, entitled Approval of Salary and Appointment of Director, Intercollegiate Athletic Director, SIUC. Is there a motion from the board to take up this matter as current and pending?
So moved.
And seconded?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay? This motion has been approved unanimously that the board take up the matter. President Dunn?
Again, as referenced earlier in the Finance Committee report, this campus has undergone a national search for a new director of Saluki Athletics. I won't belabor the background on that, but glad to recommend Tommy Bell's position on a 3-year appointment.
Thank you, sir. Any discussion? May I have a motion to approve?
I so move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Heron?
Yes.
Mannering?
Yes.
Portwood?
Yes.
Samburski?
Yes.
Scholler?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes. I declare this motion to approve, has been approved. The next item on our agenda is a presentation of the Lyndall W. Sturgis Memorial Award. In 1979, the family of the late Lyndall Sturgis established an endowment to fund an award to recognize the contributions of an SIU Carbondale employee to his or her community, area, state, and nation. Mr. Sturgis served as a member of the Illinois Teachers College Board from 1941 to 1949 He served on the first SIU Board of Trustees after SIU attained university status in 1949 and was elected chair in 1969, serving in that role until retirement in 1971. We would like to recognize Jean Easley, daughter of Lyndall Sturgis, and his daughter and her daughter, Pam Pfeffer, who have traveled a long distance to be with us today. The award carries a $750 cash prize, a plaque, and the recipient's name will be engraved and added to the Lyndall Sturgis Award plaque displayed in Anthony Hall. The recipients of this award distinguish themselves through their dedication to serving others. This year, we have two outstanding recipients. I would like to tell you about them. Phil Anton, an associate professor of exercise physiology in the Department of Kinesiology, is the recipient of the Lyndall W. Sturgis Memorial Public Service Award. He is widely recognized for his work as a founding contributor and exercise program director with the Southern Illinois Healthcare SIU Carbondale Strong Survivors Exercise and Nutrition Program for cancer survivors and caregivers. Since its inception in 2005, the Free Exercise and Nutrition Program for Cancer Survivors and Caregivers has assisted more than 420 participants. He is also a member of the Strong Survivors SIH Foundation fundraising team, a charter steering committee member of the annual SIU Men's Health Conference, organizer and supervisor of the Women's and Men's Health Conference fitness screening staff, and a community representative to the SIH Institutional Review Board. Nationally, Dr. Anton is involved with the Midwest chapter of the American College of Sports Medicine and the American Cancer Society, serving as SIU Carbondale Chapter Advisor for Colleges Against Cancer, the Relay for Life Planning Committee, and the organization Southern Illinois Chapter Leadership Board. He also was a charter member of the Healthy Southern Seven Region Coalition. John Jackson, a visiting professor with the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute, is the recipient of the Lyndall W. Sturgis Memorial Award for Professional Achievement. Dr. Jackson is well known locally and nationally for his political insight and work. He has held myriad positions since coming to SIU Carbondale in 1969 as a lecturer while completing his doctorate from Vanderbilt. He has served the university in a variety of capacities, including interim chancellor, vice chancellor for academic affairs, and provost, dean of the College of Liberal Arts, associate dean, and acting dean of the graduate school. Dr. Jackson has collaborated on the Fulbright Summer Institutes on American Government since the program began in 1993. It has attracted more than $3 million in external funding to SIU Carbondale. The 17th program later this year will bring the number of participants, faculty, and undergraduate students who have participated to 322. Among his service organizational work, Dr. Jackson has been a board member of the Alzheimer's Association of Southern Illinois, the American Red Cross, and the Center for Rural Health and Social Service Development. He is also the author of two recent books, The Essential Paul Simon, published by SIU Press in 2012, and The American Political Party System, Continuity and Change Over 10 Presidential Elections, published by the Brookings Institute in the fall of 2014. Please join me in congratulating our recipients, Dr. Philip Anton and Dr. John Jackson.
Thank you. The board looks forward to celebrating the accomplishments of Dr. Brandon and Dr. Jansen Jackson with the past award recipients at a luncheon following this meeting. I don't need my microphone. Next, I'd like to thank our student trustees, Adrian Miller from the SIU Department of Campus and Mitch Moorcraft from SIU Arizona Campus for their service to the board.
Could I have the previous recipients of the Lyndall W. Sturgis Award please stand if you are here? We need to recognize you as well. Thank you for coming. That speaks to this award. And we'll see you all at the luncheon. That concludes the business of the Board of Trustees today. Our next regularly scheduled meeting of the board will be July 16th at the SIU School of Medicine in Springfield. We'll hold a short news conference immediately after. May I have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye. We are adjourned.